It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Okay, ladies, for today's lesson, I've entitled this, Do You Love the World? This is our fifth test as we've been going through the test in 1 John. And we will be in chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. I'm going to go ahead and start out by reading those to us. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. So again, I want to quickly point out before we dive in how this is another example of John being so black and white, very solid in what he is saying. We don't have to figure out who is in the faith and who is not, because he tells us right there, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So I told you I'd continue to point that out as we go along through the book of 1 John, all of these instances where John is just black and white and doesn't mince any words. This is another example of that, and another example of how we can be bold in our faith and how we can look at these tests, apply them to our lives, and see if we really are in the faith. So for today, like I said, we're going to be in our fifth test. We have looked at some of the previous ones as we've gone through the book, and now we make our way into the one that I've entitled, Do You Love the World? And so as we dive into this, we're going to pretty much start looking at worldliness, the concept of worldliness. By that, I mean, do you love this world and all of the things in it? Does that characterize your life? Is that something that when someone looks at you, they see merely a lot of objects and things that you desire, and you're very worldly driven, and those are your passions in life, is things of this world? That's kind of the concept that we're going to be talking about today, and how that does not reflect in the life of a Christian. We are to be set apart and not of the world. So as we go ahead and think about the concepts listed here in 2 Corinthians 4:4, you can turn to that after the study as we look at the study notes. But in that section, it talks to us about Satan being the god of this world. So when you hear those phrases, that's in the Bible a lot, the prince of the air, the ruler of this world. When you hear those types of phrases, that's referring to Satan. Satan is, in a sense, the god of this world. We all know that God is omniscient, he is everywhere, and he is the god of everything. But what scripture is telling us is that concept of worldliness, fleshly things, temporal desires, those are of Satan, and he is referred to as the god of this world. So that's the concept that we're looking at here, and that's what John is trying to get across to us in this text. He's telling us things that we can kind of look back in his other book that he wrote in the book of John. And in chapter 17, verses 14, all the way pretty much through 18, I want to read that for us because it's going to go hand in hand with this concept of not being in the world. And it starts out saying, I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. Again, talking about Satan. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And he goes on talking about how to sanctify them in truth. So again, another reminder here that we are not to be of the world. We are in the world, but not of the world. So as we think about those concepts, we want to just continue to focus on the concept that true Christians, in order to pass this test, you're not going to be of the world. It is going to not characterize your life. And so when we start looking at these different verses here in the text, where it says the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, I'm going to break those down a little bit for us, and we're going to concentrate on what that's saying a little more in depth. When we talk about the lust of the flesh, this is going to be the sin nature of man, who we are before regeneration. all of those things that are fleshly in their pursuit and in their desire. So if you want some direct application, I would say things like beauty, body image, money, big houses, nice cars, vacations, latest gadgets, you name it. If it's in the flesh and in and of the world, it's going to fall into this camp pretty much. And I would even so much as add technology. That can definitely be of the flesh. That can be something that we focus all of our time and energies around with social media and all the latest gadgets, all the electronics that technology can produce for us. All of that, that concept is something that I don't think people would readily think of whenever it's lust of the flesh. But, you know, that is a trap that we in our present day and age, we fall into a lot. We fall victim to that. And so that's just another area I would caution you just to be on guard about. As we go further and that we talk about lust of the eyes, well, that one is kind of obvious. You know, we often think, oh, it starts with a look. You know, if we see someone or something that is desirable to the eyes or desirable to the flesh, that is something that can get us into trouble. It will start with a look, it'll go into your thought life, and from there it can produce actions. And so that is why that is so critical that we guard our eyes and we guard our hearts from the lust of the eyes and this world. We don't want to fall into the world's traps. That's what pagans do. They are constantly being bound by these concepts of the world's desires and how you have to have it and you have to attain it. So we don't want to fall into those traps. When we look at the pride of life, this is trying to impress people either by seeking your status, being arrogant and puffed up about something. We all know what pride is. This isn't a hard concept to envision, but when that starts crossing over into wanting to impress others with what you have and who you are, and it turns into an arrogant, boastful, prideful thing, we've crossed the line. That is being in and of the world in the wrong way. And, you know, we often hear in scripture that God hates pride. It's one of the things that he detests. And so we really want to guard against these things as well. So lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. You have to be on guard against those. You don't want those to be characteristic of your life. And so I just want to stop and ask, when you look at your life as a whole, and, you know, I want to be careful to make sure I'm explaining that properly. We are going to stumble. We live in the world as Christians. We are going to be subject to the things of this world. But the difference in an unbeliever and a believer is we are not bound by those things. They don't characterize who we are. They don't have such a stronghold on us that we no longer have time for the word or for God's people or the things that scripture tells us we need to be busy doing, the things that we need to be focused on. If we are more caught up in the world and the world system and its temporal, I guess, blessings, if you want to call it that, if we are more caught up by that, then the concept of eternity with Christ and focusing on eternal things such as witnessing, being in God's word, studying the scriptures, seeing what they say, applying them to our lives, fellowshipping with the brethren. You know, if that's not the underlying theme of your life and worldliness is, I'd caution you to look at this test and see if you are in the faith, because this is not going to be characteristic of a Christian. John even tells us that there. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And then he goes on to remind us in verse 17, the world is passing away and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. So he's giving us this reminder of it's temporal. Everything here is temporal. Don't get so hung up on it and so bound up in the things that the world has to offer that you lose track of the main reason of what you're to be doing here on this earth. And that is to glorify God. That is what you're supposed to be busy doing and being about, and by doing the things that scripture tells us to do. And so it's just it's a good reminder, this test. Do we love the world? And we all fall into this trap, ladies. I'd want to remind us, you know, the world has such a pull on us, and we're not to be characterized by the flesh, by the pride of life, by the lust of the eyes. We can't let that be our focus. And that is something that we have to guard against. We have to guard our eyes. We have to guard our time. We have to make sure that we're not so engaged in the fleshly things of this world that they make us stumble and trip up and fall over and over and over again. We don't want to do that. So if you find yourself getting caught into the traps of what the world lays out there for you, make sure that you have things in place to guard against that and be ready to stop and repent of that and give that over to the Lord and ask Him to protect you and keep your feet from stumbling so that you don't fall into those traps. So we want to just remember again today, the fifth test, do you love the world? So that's my question for you today. Stop and think about it. Do I love the world? And if there is something that has such a grasp on you that is not as tight as what should be in your life, stop, think about that today, repent of it, and ask the Lord to forgive you. You can find today's lesson under the Bible Studies tab on naomistable.com, test 5, do you love the world?